We're not God. We're human. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 204. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Our reading today is Leviticus 19-21, after which I'll have some comments. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, You are worthy. You're worthy of our praise, and You're worthy of our devotion. Thank You, Lord, for hearing us. Thank You for caring about us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving to us a way to communicate with You, the Creator of all that is. Thank You for giving us Your Word, and as we read it today, please help us to understand what it is You want us to know today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Leviticus 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the entire Israelite community and tell them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make cast images of gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you offer a fellowship sacrifice to the Lord, sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It is better to be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the next day, but what remains on the third day must be burned up. If any is eaten on the third day, it is a repulsive thing. It will not be accepted. Anyone who eats it will bear his punishment, for he has profaned what is holy to the Lord. That person must be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You must not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreign resident. I am the Lord your God. You must not steal. You must not act deceptively or lie to one another. You must not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of the Lord your God. I am Yahweh. You must not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages due a hired hand must not remain with you until morning. You must not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but you are to fear your God. I am the Lord. You must not act unjustly when deciding a case. Do not be partial to the poor or give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbor fairly. You must not go about spreading slander among your people. You must not jeopardize your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. You must not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You are to keep my statutes. You must not crossbreed two different kinds of your livestock, sow your fields with two kinds of seed, or put on a garment made of two kinds of material. If a man has sexual intercourse with a woman who is a slave designated for another man, but she has not been redeemed or given her freedom, there must be punishment. They are not to be put to death because she had not been freed. However, he must bring a ram as his restitution offering to the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The priest will make atonement on his behalf before the Lord with the ram of the restitution offering for the sin he has committed, and he will be forgiven for the sin he committed. When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, you are to consider the fruit forbidden. It will be forbidden to you for 3 years. It is not to be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit must be consecrated as a praise offering to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, its yield will increase for you. I am the Lord your God. You are not to eat anything with blood in it. You are not to practice divination or sorcery. You are not to cut off the hair at the sides of your head or mar the edge of your beard. You are not to make gashes on your bodies for the dead, or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not debase your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will be prostituted and filled with depravity. You must keep my Sabbaths and revere my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or consult spiritists, or you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You are to rise in the presence of the elderly and honor the old. Fear your God, I am the Lord. When a foreigner lives with you in your land, you must not oppress him. You must regard the foreigner who lives with you as the native born among you. You are to love him as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You must not be unfair in measurements of length, weight, or volume. You are to have honest balances, honest weights, an honest dry measure, and an honest liquid measure. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You must keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, any Israelite or foreigner living in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. The people of the country are to stone him. I will turn against that man and cut him off from his people, because he gave his offspring to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name. But if the people of the country look the other way when that man gives any of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will turn against that man and his family and cut off from their people both him and all who follow him in prostituting themselves with Molech. Whoever turns to mediums or spiritists and prostitutes himself with them, I will turn against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am Yahweh, your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh who sets you apart. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood is on his own hands. If a man commits adultery with a married woman, if he commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. If a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has shamed his father. Both of them must be put to death. Their blood is on their own hands. If a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, both of them must be put to death. They have acted perversely. Their blood is on their own hands. If a man sleeps with a man as with a woman, they have both committed a detestable thing. They must be put to death. Their blood is on their own hands. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is depraved. Both he and they must be burned with fire, so that there will be no depravity among you. If a man has sexual intercourse with an animal, he must be put to death. You are also to kill the animal. If a woman comes near any animal and mates with it, you are to kill the woman and the animal. They must be put to death. Their own blood is on them. If a man marries his sister, whether his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and they have sexual relations, it is a disgrace. They must be cut off publicly from their people. He has had sexual intercourse with his sister. He will bear his punishment. If a man sleeps with a menstruating woman and has sexual intercourse with her, he has exposed the source of her flow, and she has uncovered the source of her blood. Both of them must be cut off from their people. You must not have sexual intercourse with your mother's sister or your father's sister, for it is exposing one's own blood relative. Both people will bear their punishment. If a man sleeps with his aunt, he has shamed his uncle. They will bear their guilt and die childless. If a man marries his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has shamed his brother. They will be childless. You are to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land where I am bringing you to live will not vomit you out. You must not follow the statutes of the nations I am driving out before you, for they did all these things, and I abhorred them. And I promised you, you will inherit their land, since I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, who set you apart from the peoples. Therefore, you must distinguish the clean animal from the unclean one, and the unclean bird from the clean one. Do not become contaminated by any land animal, bird, or whatever crawls on the ground. I have set these apart as unclean for you. You are to be holy to me because I, Yahweh, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist must be put to death. They are to be stoned. Their blood is on their own hands. Leviticus chapter 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, No one shall defile himself for a dead person among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother and his father and his son and his daughter and his brother. Also for his virgin sister who is near to him because she has no husband. For her he may defile himself. He shall not defile himself as a relative by marriage among his people, and so profane himself. They shall not make any baldness on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God, and not profane the name of their God, for they present the offerings by fire to the Lord, the food of their God, so they shall be holy. They shall not take a woman who is profaned by harlotry, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his God. You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the food of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. Also, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by harlotry, she profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire. The priest who is the highest among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil has been poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he approach any dead person, nor defile himself even for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. He shall take a wife in her virginity. A widow or a divorced woman, or one who is profaned by harlotry, these he may not take, but rather he is to marry a virgin of his own people, so that he will not profane his offspring among his people. For I am the Lord who sanctifies him. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, saying, No man of your offspring throughout their generations who has a defect shall approach to offer the food of his God. For no one who has a defect shall approach, a blind man or a lame man, or he who has a disfigured face, or any deformed limb, or a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or a hunchback or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scabs or crushed testicles. No man among the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect is to come near to offer the Lord's offerings by fire. Since he has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the food of his God. He may eat the food of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go into the veil or come near the altar because he has a defect, so that he will not profane my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel. Today, beloved, I want to talk about Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2, and then Leviticus 20, verses 22 through 26. Leviticus 19:1 said, The Lord spoke to Moses, Speak to the entire Israelite community and tell them, Be holy because I, Yahweh, your God, am holy. Do you know what that means, to be holy? To be holy is to be separate, different, set apart. God is holy in that he is different from everything else in all creation. Every aspect of who and what God is different than every other thing, because he is God, he is greater, he is more righteous, he is more just, he is more pure, he is more loving, more than can be expressed. So how can he call his people to be holy because he is holy? We're not God, we're human. How can we be holy? Well, beloved, because we are made in his image. Yes, beloved, he is not calling us to be gods because God is the only true God. So what is he calling us to do? He's calling us to be separate, different, set apart from the things in the world that are not pleasing to him. Or put another way, set apart from the things that are not like him. We are to be more like him. We are to reflect him as much as we can. The word Christian means like Christ. So in chapter 19 and most of chapter 20, God, through Moses, talked about the punishment that was to be meted out for various sins, which had already been spoken of in some previous chapters. And then in verses 22 through 26 of chapter 20, God gave his reason for calling Israel to be holy. You see, God has called his chosen people out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. This is a land that had been inhabited by people who practiced many things that were evil in the sight of God, and he did not want any of that behavior to be brought into the Israelite culture. The fact that the previous inhabitants did such heinous things is why God had the Israelites expel, and in fact, why he commanded them to completely wipe them out in almost every case. And God told the Israelites to keep all of his statutes and laws so that the land where he was bringing them would not vomit them out, as he was having them do to the Canaanites who were presently in that land. And this is why he called them to be holy, to be different. And this idea of being different, of being separate, is the reason for many of the laws in these chapters that we've been reading. Whenever there was a behavior that was practiced by the Canaanites, God said, "Do not do that." And some of the seemingly random laws are examples of this, like the shaving of the sides of the heads or the trimming of the beards. Doesn't that seem a little strange to us today? Well, these were things that were done by the pagans in their worship of idols. The same for cutting the flesh or tattoos. God said, "Do not do those things because you are to be holy, separate, different. Don't do what they do." The mixing of textiles was forbidden because the pagans did that, thinking there was some sort of magic associated with clothes made in this manner. And many of the laws concerning sexual activity have the same basis. The pagans had many perverse practices in their religions, so God was very explicit in what he had to say about what was not allowed. Today, as we read through these laws concerning sexual activity, we say, "Of course you shouldn't do that." But remember, beloved, our culture has the benefit of being founded on Judeo-Christian principles. For now, as long as it lasts, and Judeo-Christian culture is under attack by the left today, most of our way of life is defined, even in our legal system, by these Judeo-Christian principles. As God warned the Israelites to keep all his statutes and all his judgments so that the land would not vomit them out, I believe we have enjoyed blessings here in America because we were founded on these ideals. And just as God allowed Israel to be judged when they forsook him, I believe we are in danger of his judgment today. Beloved, again, I say that we must return to God. God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "Then, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." Notice, beloved, who God is calling to humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. It wasn't the heathen. It wasn't the sinner. God said, "If my people who are called by my name." Beloved, we must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek his face. We must turn from our wicked ways. You say, "Steve, I'm not wicked." I say, "Was that right? Okay, maybe it's just me. But I know that I fail God every day, and I am so not like Jesus. I have so far to go. I know that I'm not the man that God wants me to be. I know that the only way I'm getting into heaven is because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. But I still want to continue to strive to be more like him." Beloved, all of us must seek his face. We must ask him to reveal to us where we fail him and humbly ask him to forgive us. We must ask him to heal our land. Will you join me in this? Will you commit to earnestly do this? Our nation, our world, will only find healing and peace through God. Political leaders or political systems won't do it for us. God is the only answer. Pray with me. Oh God, we humbly come to you now in Jesus' precious name, and we plead with you to reveal to us those areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you. Show us, God, where we're falling short. We know that you're not happy with us. We know that we need the forgiveness that can only come because of your great mercy. Please, God, forgive us. Forgive us for the things we do and for the things we don't do. Forgive us for our cowardice. Forgive us for not standing up for what we know is right and for not fighting against what we know is wrong. Father, we ask you now to give us the courage that can only come from you. Give us courage to speak for the weak among us. Give us courage to fight for what is right. God, we ask that you heal our land, not just here in America, Lord, but in our world. Oh God, we need you. Let this generation see a revival the likes of which have never been seen. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord. Make us a mighty army for you. We humbly ask that you make us worthy to be called by your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you'll commit with me to pray this prayer until we see a move from God, will you write to me and let me know? If you agree with me that we as a people need to do this, will you share this podcast? I'm asking that you let me know. Many of you have never written to me, never given any feedback, and I get it. Life is busy, and I'm just a guy talking to you on a podcast. But I'm asking you to take action. I'm asking you to pray with me, and I'm asking you to write me to let me know that you're standing with me here. Maybe I should say kneeling with me. If you're with me, please do it now. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and in the subject line of your email, just say, I'm with you. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to write anything in the body of the email if you're too busy. Do it now, beloved, before you get too busy today. steve@lifespringmedia.com. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 204, or look in your podcast app. Our reading tomorrow will be 2 Kings 16 through 20. I'd like to share with you Billy Graham's last message. This was recorded shortly before he died at the age of 95.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
I see how God's hand guided me. When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross. His gospel is for everyone.
God has done this.
Christ is alive. Modern America today, there is a vacuum of the soul.
Our country's in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
The cross. The cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and blood-stained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
That he loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins. The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must face. I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. and I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserved the cross. We deserved hell. We deserved judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. One reason that the cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. He can make you a totally new person. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that, they scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person almost to death. And then they took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life. There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was the righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus. When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. To change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me. Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive. I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow. I have reason for existence. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Do you?
Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.